know what's going on. It's the intro video didn't play, but you guys can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, everybody, welcome to Latino Free Minds, episode 31. And we have Melinda Ann from LUCA, Latinos United for Conservative Action, with us again. It's her second appearance on the show. How you doing, Melinda?
I am fantastic. How are you guys doing? Thank you for having me. I love coming and talking to you guys. It's always fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. So what's new with you guys?
Just the same, watching everything go down. There's a lot going on. I was just telling Daniel about all the officials that have switched over to the GOP party recently. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty interesting.
It is.
Some areas giving them like super majority and stuff like that. So
Does it make you nervous? Do you feel nervous when you see some of these Democrats jumping to the GOP?
You mean like if they're trying to be like a Trojan horse type of thing?
Yeah.
Not really. It didn't make me nervous. It just kind of emphasized how the tide is turning and maybe the pressure that they're feeling, you know, to switch over and do something about it.
Oh, yeah.
I think the one that I was telling Daniel about a couple of days ago that I heard about, the lady's from Texas, and she saw all of the border crisis. Yes. So just the story behind it kind of didn't make me nervous. It almost like I thought it's about time that someone starts, you know, flipping to the other side. But no, I it didn't worry me like it's a Trojan horse type of move on them.
Well, good.
That's another rhino. What about you?
Sometimes I get nervous, right? Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, I think because the Democrat Party knows that they just have lost. I mean, we know Biden didn't get 81 million votes. Let's just be real. I mean, we know he didn't. So, you know, I get nervous. I do, because it's like they're always looking for something that they can do to try to infiltrate or steal the vote or just whatever. Like, I just don't trust them anymore. So, you know, it's hard, and it's going to be up to like the people, right? The citizens and the grassroots to even know who these candidates are. Do we trust them? Are they career politicians? Like, what do we know about them? Right. I think that's going to be a huge factor in the decisions that we're going to be making for this really big election coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, we definitely need to keep an eye on them and see if, you know, back up what they're saying, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hold them accountable, in other words. So hopefully people, you know, do that in those areas. And other people have to kind of fall in line and kind of start, you know, doing the same thing. So we'll see.
Well, just so you guys know, that is something that LUCA, that's what we are doing. We are going to be the candidates that we get behind, that we endorse. They're going to have to fill out a questionnaire, right? And we're going to really vet them and make sure that we know that these candidates are the real deal. Like they're the ones that are the grassroots. The people like us, we're tired, we're angry, we're exhausted, that are jumping in here and in the game and putting their hat, their name in the hat, you know, so that they can make a real difference. So just, you know, that is something that LUCA will be working on, and something that is very important to us, that we really get behind those grassroots candidates.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good.
You know what's interesting right now that you mentioned that is that, you know, they're trying to get the whole COVID thing going again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's going to be something that people are going to be campaigning on. So it'll be interesting to see which side they pick. I was just talking to someone yesterday, talking about what we think about people's reaction this time around, you know, to the whole mandates. You know, we've talked to other guests and we've talked like, what is a mandate? No one can really say what a mandate is. It's like a made up term word that they just applied. I mean, it's, you know, it's not a law. It didn't go through the legislature or anything like that. So let's see if some people got educated and see what they do this time around. But is that something that you're going to be asking the candidates when you're vetting them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we're going to have a questionnaire, and it is going to have every single bullet point thing that Americans are concerned with today. And, you know, we're going to want to know exactly how they're going to vote. They're going to be on a point system and on a rating system.
Oh, wow.
Our website's about to be launched. So you guys look out for that. We've been working on that. We're really excited. Yeah. And, you know, so everybody will be able to get on there and do the, and see the vetting system that we've done, as far as Luca, with all of the candidates that are running in their district. So then that way they can educate themselves and kind of know. So we're going to do kind of that pre-vetting, right? We're going to be doing that part with the questionnaires, working really closely with some great people here in Texas and the other states as we start to become national. And just want to make sure that these candidates are in this for the right fight. So yeah, that's going to be one of them. And you know, I don't think people are going to fall for this whole COVID thing again. I've been listening, and it's like the flu, you guys. It's like, we don't even talk about the flu anymore. Where is the flu? If you turn on the news, if you look at the media, it's all COVID, 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 COVID. Where did the flu go? Where did it go?
Yes.
And some of them are saying that it's kind of mild, like 3 to 5 days, and it's mild. Well, kind of sounds like the flu to me. if you ask me, right? Yeah. Because, you know, that was one of the biggest questions that I asked during that whole lockdown. How did the flu disappear?
Mm-hmm.
There was no sign of the flu anywhere. What happened to it? It just went kapoof, and it just went away, and all of a sudden it's back again. Does that make sense to anybody?
We saw some data when the COVID was around. Mm-hmm. You're right. The flu was gone. After COVID went away, now the flu has been back. Now the flu is going to go away again, and COVID's going to come back. And lo and behold, you know, it's going to be a campaigning season. So it just makes perfect sense.
You know, and we knew it's a campaign year, and states like mine in New Mexico, well, she just, the people had to go in and stand and protest because she just amended all of these, she just put forth all of these amendments to the election process that has to do with mail-in ballots. So, I mean, that's blatantly in our face that they are preparing to cheat again, obviously. Say it, call it what it is. They're cheating. And there was really no need for her to do that. Like, why is she doing that?
Yeah, I mean, it just, like you said, it only makes someone wonder, right? Well, what it is they're trying to do. And from what we've seen in, you know, 2020, especially, it's like it makes you believe they're not doing anything that's honest, right? So, you know, we'll see what happens with that part, with all of that. But, you know, I've noticed, just to kind of go back to Luca, it's like your team is growing. I noticed you guys were posting a lot of your members. So how's all that going? I know you were in California a couple weeks ago. I think it had to do with that. Yes. So how's that?
Well, yes, I went to California to go the ribbon cutting event for the Hispanic 100. They're in Newport Beach. They're in Orange County, California. They're a great foundation. They're a mentorship, a scholarship foundation. They've been around 13 years. So they just opened up their building. So they now have their headquarters, which was really awesome. I got to meet Congresswoman Young Kim there in Orange County. She's one of your Republican congresswomen, and she's feisty. I mean, she's a fighter. I mean, she really shared what it's really like in D.C. For them. And, you know, even talking to our congressman here in Texas, Ronnie Jackson, which I'll get to see him on Friday. We're going to Luca will be attending the Reagan Lincoln dinner here. And, you know, they just continue to share what a fight it is over there. And so, but yeah, so that was my first time to Orange County, California. Beautiful country. Absolutely gorgeous. Went for a ride. But I got to, I was there with my CEO, Antonio, Tony De Nentria, because he's a board member of the Hispanic 100. Okay. So he's a board member. And then got to meet Mario Rodriguez, who is the chairman. And, you know, just was able to be a part of that, They want to learn more about LUCA. We've got some alliances now out there in California for LUCA. But yes, we are growing. We are based out of Texas. So I'm just getting ready to put out a video. Some people are going to watch it now, but we're going to be expanding. We're now looking for members and volunteer coordinators in the San Antonio area. Texas is a huge state. So we've got to cover all of our cities. Mm-hmm. We're trying to protect our last conservative standing city right now. That's Tarrant. I mean, let me tell you how fast and furious these Democrats are coming after that county. Our team has been really fighting with the school board over there. If you guys have been watching, mm-hmm. they've been showing up and pushing back because there are so many of these very sexually explicit books. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Our outreach director, Italia, she read from the book. And of course, they try to shut her down. Of course, like, you can't say stuff like that. Well, yeah, you don't want to hear it. But these are elementary kids that are actually reading it, right? So, I mean, it just blows your mind. You just don't understand. So we've been fighting really hard. Now, a group did put a counter protest against it because they did. The news station over there, they showed that, hey, they banned the books. They shut down the libraries, you guys, after this. Shut down the libraries so they could audit the books and get them removed. But there was a group that was counter protesting because they didn't want the library shut down. And they felt that it's the, you know, First Amendment, it's their freedom and their right to read whatever books they want. They even, a lady was even saying, well, you know, we need to protect the LGBTQ children. And if they want to read these books, they should be able to read these books. Okay. Yes. So, but yeah, so our team is growing. Our North Texas team, they're amazing. I mean, we've got other things that they're setting up for. But yes, yeah, so we're going to fill up Texas and then we're going to be going national. As soon as, you know, like I said, our website's getting ready to launch.
Nice.
Supposed to be launching on Friday, but I'll get that. I'll let everybody know to sign up so that way everybody can keep up with LUCA. But we've got some really big, fantastic things coming up, guys. And I can't wait. I'll share them as they come to fruition.
Cool. That's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. Thank you. So, and we're going to need everybody to get involved because just, you know, the action item behind our name, mm-hmm. right? Latinos Uniting for Conservative Action. So like I've always said, it's the action items that matter the most. What are we doing? Well, as you can see, we're getting in the schools, mm-hmm. right? We're shutting them down. We're writing letters to the Six Flags CEO, and they complied. We were the ones that sent out the letter first to the Six Flags of Arlington out here, because they were having drag queen shows right out in the public. Little kids are walking by, kids are sitting there. And so we wrote them a letter, putting them on notice and saying, look, we can't tell you what to do, but at least move it indoors out of the sight of children. Make sure you have a sign that says 18 years and above. And they did, guys. So this is the kind of work that is really important about our organization. And again, we are running our organization and we're leading with God. That is our mission. We're going to be working with the pastors, with the churches, our churches, too many of our churches. And it's true. I've spoken to a lot of other pastors that believe this the way we do, but they're more worried about butts in the pews than the getting the right message out there. So a big part of we're looking for our faith director right now. We will have our faith director and they're going to work nationally with all of the churches. I mean, right now, our people are walking into the churches to set up LUCA tables to register voters, to talk about the importance and really understanding, you know, government is mentioned in the Bible many, many times. And, you know, a nation without God is not a nation. I mean, we're being ran. I mean, we can seriously see the spiritual battle right now. So LUCA, we have a faith director, we have an education director. And so that's what kind of puts us aside. And we're going to be working really hard with God at the forefront and making sure that we are also unite with so many different organizations. We want to be that organization uniting, mm-hmm. right? Uniting. Yeah. Conservative action across the country. So that's our mission. And we're really excited because we're getting there.
Yeah.
No, you know, you're mentioning that right now. And I don't know if you guys have seen the Netflix series, Chosen. Have you guys started watching that?
I started watching the first. Yes, I've watched a few of those. It's great.
Yeah, it really is. And there's a lot of good feedback on it. And it's almost like the Passion of the Christ is they fought, you know, Hollywood and all kinds of different production spots to get those movies even out to the big screen, right?
Isn't that sad?
It's unbelievable. You would think that they wouldn't care, that it's going to fail and it's not going to be a success. But they knew that it was going to be a success. And it's very similar to the series that just came out. You know, it's really popular. It's growing. A lot of people are talking about it. Yeah. And it goes to the point that you were making is that, you know, they are attacking people's faith. They are pulling, you know, kids away from their faith, you know, whether we want to admit it or not, in schools, you know, with the TV shows and, you know, all of the movies, everything, just basically popular culture is just ripping, you know, God out of the culture. So it's good to see, you know, someone, you know, like in your organization actually having, what did you say, a minister?
We're going to have a faith director who's working. Yes, we'll have a faith director where we've been talking to a few pastors already. We've got a few in mind, but that's the most important in our organization is our faith director, mm-hmm. right? So nationally that, you know, we've had access to hundreds and possibly even thousands of pastors across the country. So that's our most important job in ensuring that they're also leading by faith, that we're leading by faith. And, again, our children, our generations, our country, everything, we have to bring God back. The moment mm-hmm. we took God out of schools, we broke up the family unit where, you know, now nobody's going to church anymore. We've seriously taken God out of everything. And we can all clearly see what happens when Satan and his demons start to run amok.
Mm-hmm. On earth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're witnessing it right now. Lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, definitely it's real time. You can see it. And this is kind of something that I wanted to ask at the end, but we're kind of talking about it now because I was going to ask both of you, and I don't know if you guys have seen this or not or heard things like that. Obviously, there's a lot of Christian conservatives, right? But I am seeing a lot of Christian conservatives also saying they're not going to vote because, you know, the candidates aren't, how could I put it, 100% behind what they believe. And so I'm seeing a lot of that, and I don't know if you guys are or have seen any of that, but, you know, I was going to ask both of you this question. Should we vote? Because I'm seeing a lot of people say they're not going to vote because, again, they don't fully agree with all the candidates. So what I have said in the past is, you know, there's not a perfect candidate out there. There's not going to be a candidate that's going to agree 100% with everything that you believe in. But we can't take a 100% loss because we have a 5% difference. That's my thought, right? So what do you guys think? And if have you heard any of that? Have you seen any of that? People just kind of saying they're not going to vote because of, you know, basically using their faith as the reason not to.
You want to go first?
Sure. Yes, I have. I have heard it. And it is very discouraging. And I have had conversations with some people, especially a lot of my fellow New Mexicans, because they say, why vote? They're cheating. They're going to cheat. They're going to, and they don't have faith in our Republican Party. It is what it is. They do not have faith in our Republican Party there. They're trying to run third parties. But guys, it doesn't work. The Democrats are banking. They're causing, let's look at this. They're causing this chaos, right? They want to discourage the every American voter that is doing, just looking for, you know, for the right candidates. They want to discourage us in every single way. We are obligated as an American to ensure that the people we are voting in are the grassroots candidates that think the way we do, that are going to work for us. We are obligated to ensure that those around us, our family, our friends, our loved ones, everybody is very educated and is also understands the importance of casting your vote. We are obligated. This is our job, and we've been slacking for a long time. Nothing's going to change. We are not going to see anything better. These corrupt politicians are going to continue to reign their corruption until we get it together. And then the other problem is that we are very divided. So, and we have to consistently keep having those conversations, and we have to come to the common denominator. Do we like being free? Do we like being in control of our own lives? Do we want the ability to make sure that there are jobs, that we can run businesses, that we can live happy and pursue the American dream again? Mm-hmm. We have to continue to ask ourselves, because the way things are looking now, it isn't happening, and it isn't, and we're going to stay in a struggle until we can get ourselves out of that place. And so I do not agree. And I think people really need to continue to stand and fight harder, even now, more than ever, mm-hmm. because we can clearly see what they're capable of doing, what they've done, because we haven't been paying attention, because we haven't taken control. We are huge. I mean, and as under Luca, we're seeing it now when we show up and we're when we're stronger in numbers. Mm-hmm. No matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter how we fight, we have to lock arms as Americans, and we have to fight the establishment. Remember, this is the government that our forefathers warned us about. Mm-hmm. And we have to really understand that and band together and stand strong. I mean, get our feet planted strong together, lock these arms. You know, if you really think about the politicians, there are not more of them than there are of us.
Right.
Yeah, very true. No, I think you took the words out of my mouth in the sense that if people don't vote, if they have adopted that way of thinking, they're actually falling for the trap. They're doing exactly what the Democratic Party wants them to do. It's divide and conquer, demoralize you, make you feel like your vote isn't going to count. Or, you know, demonizing the other party to the point where, you know, they're undecided and they really don't want to vote. So I think it's a big mistake. I think what people should be focusing on is very simple. Values, beliefs, put them down on one side. Which candidate is going to give you maybe not the whole list that you have on there, but 2, 3, 4, or the majority, period. Let's just leave it at that. And make your decision based off of that.
Right.
But you have to head in one direction. If you have a say, I'm going into this direction, which is going to get you three of those values that are, you know, instilled in you, within you, mm-hmm. then you've made the right choice.
Right.
But you're just going to leave it up to someone else to decide, you know, which way the country's going to go in or what direction. It's a big mistake, in my opinion.
It is.
And, you know, I have heard that as well. But I have also heard people that said that they have never voted that are going to be voting. So I have heard some of that as well. So, you know, I think a lot of people in the past 2-3 years are going to make their voice heard in record numbers that haven't in the past. That's just my personal opinion. Maybe I'm a little bit too much of an optimist, but
no, you know, we need them.
I agree with you on that. On that end, I think that especially when it comes to this new set of mandates or whatever the heck they're trying to do, I do believe I have a little more faith in people that they're not just going to comply with all of that. That they're going to say, "Nah, we're not falling for this again." You know, a lot of people probably fell for it at the beginning because they didn't know what it was. They didn't know what was going on. You know, they were trying to take care of themselves, maybe others at the time, without knowing the full grasp of things. I kind of, you know, understand that. But this time around, you know, I don't think people are gonna fly for that.
Well, it goes back to that saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out. We're going to find out because they're going to try. They're definitely going to try. So,
yeah.
Well,
they have nothing else. They can see the uproar, and they can see that, you know, Biden has really lost a lot of other, you know, people that voted for him. They're losing the moderates. They're losing the independents. You know, the only ones they haven't lost are the libertarians.
Apparently he lost YG too. I don't know if you guys heard of that. He's the rapper that made the F Donald Trump song. The one that got real popular, the rapper from over here in California. Apparently, like, he's considering voting for Trump. And, you know, that was one of his main songs. So if you lost that guy, you know, you're headed in the wrong direction.
You're done. Yeah.
No, did you guys see the response that he got from Hawaii when he showed up? And that's a Democratic state.
I saw that.
It was pretty.
Fell asleep.
I saw that too.
When his caravan was coming through, it was pretty vulgar. You know the response that he was getting. I mean, they were heated. Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, how long did it take for him to actually get there? So I think it was. I understand it was well deserved for him to get that kind of response.
Absolutely. He deserves it everywhere he goes. I mean, all he does is sleep. Nobody sees him. He's on vacation. He's at his place in Delaware. He falls asleep at every important meeting or whatever happens, you know, on behalf of America. He's passed. You guys, you can see it. You can see it in his face. He's got dementia.
Yeah.
He's not well.
I mean, there's, I personally don't think he's going to be on the ballot. That's kind of where my head is going. I think.
No, I mean, even the media is starting to attack him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily attack him, but they're trying to go against him. But, you know, it's just the beginning of it. And you really can't do anything about it. I mean, it's come out that, you know, he had a burner phone and he knew everything that was going on with Hunter Biden. So there's a lot of information coming out. And I have a feeling that there's going to be more drips of information coming out as time goes along, and they're going to have to just get rid of them. I think they're already starting to build towards that, to be honest with you.
And it goes to show just how corrupt the Democrats are. They're not, they're anti-American. They are not American. They're not following the Constitution, because if any Democrat, and maybe that's why we're seeing a flip, again, it still makes me nervous, but it could be any Democrat, anybody that ran for office, you took an oath to the Constitution. This man is obviously not well. He has dementia. They need to, you know, they need to push the 25th on him, get him out of there. The fact that the Democrats defend Hunter Biden, defend what they did with China, defend the money that they took from Ukraine, to defend this man. They're not real Americans. They are un-American civil servants. Remember, guys, I say this all the time. Don't call them politicians. They are civil servants. Mm-hmm. Call them what they are. They think they're celebrities because now, I mean, they make millions of dollars. And this is on both sides. Right. We all know on both sides. Trump knows both sides are compromised. And we know, and I'm so thankful that he pulled the curtain up on all of the corruption in the Republican Party, too, because the people need to know who they are.
And he's doing that currently, is that he knows that the GOP is just going to, you know, they're going to blindside him if he goes to the debates. So he said, I'm not going to the debates. I'm going to be interviewed by Tucker while the debates are going. No one's going to watch those debates.
But that's happening now, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. That's how interesting.
We're missing it. It's happening. No, we can recap it. I mean, he's brilliant. As a matter of fact, I just put on my status. I was watching Newsmax earlier, and there was a Trump campaign commercial. And it was of DeSantis back in the days just raving about, like, different clips of him just raving about President Trump, how he's the best president of his lifetime. I was like, that was brilliant. They just made a collage of all these different videos of DeSantis saying the most kindest, most wonderful things about Trump, right? Just to show the hypocrisy. Like, can you believe this guy? Like, look at everything that he said about me that was good. Now listen to what he's saying, and I'm this horrible person. I thought it was a brilliant commercial. Bravo. Yeah. Bravo to the team that you guys did that. So wait till you guys see it. You're going to, I was laughing.
Check it out.
It was hilarious.
No, that's awesome. He's a marketing genius. Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this last time. How old is he? 77,
I think.
77?
Yeah.
And I mean, he's, I don't know if it's his team or if it's him or whatever, but even back when he had the show, both. The Apprentice. Yeah. It was just, he's got this natural knack, gift for it. And he's an entertaining guy, for sure.
Yeah, he is.
And it's like, he doesn't even care. Like, they can't hurt him. They can't do anything to hurt him anymore. They can't say anything, but, you know.
Well, he uses everything that they do against him. It's like, what did he say last time? Fourth indictment. It shows you four times, you know, that they've interfered with the campaign. You know, let's see if they go for a fifth. And he uses everything that they throw at him and he spins it around. Yeah. You're talking about a boomerang, and he's the master of that.
He really is. So, I mean, it's entertaining to watch.
Nonetheless. Yeah. No, and yeah, he's like, I'm gonna share this. This is what he posted today. He said, nobody has ever fought for election integrity like President Donald J. Trump. So he's like talking about himself. For doing so, I will proudly be arrested tomorrow afternoon in Georgia. God bless the United States of America. So it's like, I'm gonna go turn myself in, get arrested, but I'm gonna be proud about it because, you know, I know what I'm doing. And it's like,
can you imagine? Can you imagine the first president to just be bullied by our own government? Yeah. And this is, you know, this is why I take it back to JFK.
Yeah.
He fought our own government as well. He fought the CIA. He fought them all.
Yeah. I think Reagan said it, right? We're like one generation away from tyranny, or it's somewhere along those lines. And it's like, man, like they're what they're doing right now is like, if that's not obvious to you, this communistic thing that they're trying to run now. And it's like, man, you're never going to see it. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw these from earlier. These are the mugshots.
Wow.
So you got Giuliani, Ellis, I like how she's smiling, and Sidney Powell.
That would be me. I'd be smiling.
But, yeah. You know, that's those three. And it's like, imagine when Trump's come out. You know how many, he's probably going to put it on a shirt and sell it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like you said, it's marketing. Like, please, like, do it.
He's going to make millions. And it's only going to show, you know, the reality of his support. Uh-huh.
You know, that's going to be his campaign right there, is going on these trials. So I don't know if you guys heard, but they were trying to put it on national TV. And I think it did get approved to go on national TV.
Yeah, I saw that. So, I saw that like a little before we started.
What, his arrest?
Yeah, his arraignment. But,
the court hearings and everything, all the proceedings. So one of the interesting things too is that they're going to give him equal time, you know, when it's time for him to present evidence and everything. So he's going to have his opportunity to, you know, prove everything, you know, that he's been talking about and actually put it on record. So that's going to be pretty, I'm looking forward to that part of it because you know that everything that has been brought out in the court cases that he's already had, they've been throwing it out.
Yeah.
So it'll be really interesting to see actually to be out live on TV, and the media doesn't even have to get involved anymore as far as reporting it, because it's going to be out there. Everybody's going to see it real time. So I think that's going to be real good.
I just don't know how I feel about it though, guys. I don't know like how I feel about seeing our president being arrested.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough, but I think it has to happen.
Yeah,
just to emphasize, you know, the effort that these politicians are putting into put them behind bars and get them out of the running for the president. And I think it's gonna force people to wake up. I think it's working against them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, it is. I believe it really is, you know, and I get hope when I watch just some freelance people just talk to everyday Americans in the inner cities. I mean, just on the streets and everywhere where people are just like, you know, F Biden. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's literally what they say in every of these, you know, minority inner city areas, communities and whatnot, like they're not happy. They're not happy with watching the migrants and the immigrants getting bused into their communities, which is making it harder for them to live. And we're already in an inflation. Americans already are already struggling, and you know, but there's Ukraine.
Oh yeah.
The biggest GoFundMe in the world.
Yeah. And that's the one that, you know, we're able to see because, you know, all lights are on them right now. Imagine how many times they did this before with other countries or are doing it with other countries right now. Mm-hmm. But to your point right now, we were talking about, you know, what was it that young girl that got raped, Daniel?
Oh, it was in Texas, right?
Pasadena, Texas. Yeah. Pasadena, yeah. He was from Guatemala, mm-hmm. and he came in through the El Paso border in January, and he was freed immediately. He came through illegally and raped and murdered, brutally murdered, strangled, and stuffed her in a bag.
Yeah, I think the report said he put her in a bag and then in a basket, right? Like a laundry basket, and just put her under the bed. Yeah. So they couldn't, I guess they couldn't find her at first. They didn't know she was dead. And, you know, eventually they found her under the bed. And I mean, that's one of those things, like, right? If we don't enforce our border laws and we just let people come in, it's like, you know, people are upset when Trump said, like, not all the good ones come. And it's like, hey, it's a fact, you know, not all the good ones come. And you know, this guy here, this piece of crap, you know, does this to an 11-year-old. And I don't think have they found him yet? I don't think I've seen that they did.
Yes,
okay,
they have.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the fact. They're like, oh, well, remember in January, let's think back to January. What was the Biden administration saying? Our borders are shut. Mm-hmm. We don't have a border problem. Although the rest of us that live on the border, like, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Like, you know, and they just, the lying propaganda in media, mm-hmm. right, that just lies for them and hides it. Literally, there were people that don't believe sex trafficking is real and that it's happening. And that just goes to show the reality of, you know, how the media is our enemy. They're supposed to be the watchdogs mm-hmm. for the people. Yeah, they're not.
They're dying.
I think a lot of people forgot about that. That's what they're supposed to do, is that they're supposed to hold everybody accountable.
Yeah, the media is dying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
that's why I always say when I come in, we're the media.
Exactly.
You know, we have to be the media because this is why I encourage everybody to talk to your friends, your family, your loved ones, talk to everybody, because there are a lot of people out there that do not realize that this is really happening mm-hmm. here. Yeah. They're in denial. And so stories like, you know, this poor little baby get swept under the rug. And, you know, so yeah, this guy walked right into our obviously open borders that, you know, Mayorkas and all of them are saying that Kamala, the border states are where, wait, where's Kamala? Has anybody seen Kamala? Like,
didn't I ask you that like a couple episodes ago, Danny? Like, where the hell is
Kamala? Yeah, I haven't heard anything. Who is Kamala?
Where is this chick?
I think I even asked if she was still alive. Like, who knows? I haven't heard or seen anything. And, you know, she was when she was making her clips, it's like everything she says is so just dumb. I think they just told her, hey, just chill. And then they got Biden. So it's like, it's not any better. So it's like both of you need to shut up for a little bit.
I can't.
I think you're right. The last clip I saw her, they were mocking her pretty bad. They were making fun of her pretty bad. But I mean, she has to follow Biden. I mean, how bad can you be?
Apparently really bad.
Biden? Jeez Louise.
You could not pay me enough to be a part of that. You just
circus. Yeah,
I would never. But it just goes to show we were all conspiracy theories, right? Theorists for a very long mm-hmm. time. And that just goes to show that, you know, when you see a story like this, where this poor baby was just brutally murdered, you know, sexually, I get sick to my stomach when I think about the terror that this baby was feeling right before her life ended. And mm-hmm. all because, again, because this guy came, walked right into our border. And you're right. This is what Trump said. He goes, not all of them that come in are good. I'm assuming some of them are good, but you can't even get one guy like this. Cause what if they wouldn't have found him? What if they wouldn't have found him? And a lot of times some of these people just disappear into our country. They're ghosts. They don't have a social security card. They don't have an ID. We don't know where they are. Apparently, I guess there's a system where they ping them. They have phones, but really does it, a phone can be thrown in the water. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Into a toilet. Mm-hmm. Like how dumb are these people? Seriously.
It's
And then on top of that, they were sending some illegal immigrants over to some dorms. I don't know if you guys heard about that story too.
To where?
And the parent dorms, like college dorms and stuff like that. I forget which state it was. But then the parents started protesting and made an uproar about it because there were reports of sexual assaults and things of that nature. So they're running out of places and ideas to, you know, put a lot of these illegal immigrants in. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, a lot of people are learning the hard way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Sadly, this is what it takes sometimes. And, you know, we knew that, and we do know that we can't turn a whole society, a whole country around. I mean, Trump did a pretty darn good job in those 4 years. He cut regulations. He cut red tape. Remember all those papers he had stacked
in the
Oval Office saying, look, we had to cut all this stuff. He had to cut off the Paris climate. He had to get out of NAFTA. I mean, take out the Chinese. It's possible. Mm-hmm. And he was able to do it in those 4 years, and we could feel it. And that's why they had to get rid of him, obviously.
Yeah, there was too much good stuff for the people.
You know what I mean?
Too much winning, he would have said.
Too much winning.
And then that's the thing, you know, just to kind of go back into it. It's like, I think that's why, you know, it's important that everybody does vote because, you know, going back to what you guys said, it's like, yeah, that's what they want, right? Because we all believe they cheated in 2020. We all believe there's no way in hell Biden got 81 million votes. Now, if we just let that demoralize us and don't participate going further, then it's like they're going to, even if they cheat, it's like it's not going to be as obvious anymore. It's like you have to make it, you have to show up, vote, so that even if they do cheat, it looks so astronomically stupid that they're going to make themselves get caught. You know what I mean? But if you just give up,
that's what happened in 2020.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was so bad that, I mean, it's like a hockey stick. You know, Trump was going up. We go to sleep and boom, we wake up and Biden won. Everybody knew that that didn't happen.
So did you guys just watch the recent video that I made about a guy named Hyder Garcia here in Tarrant County, Texas?
No, I didn't. I missed that
one. I'm going to encourage all of you guys to go watch that video because this was this is about an elections administrator here in Texas that just resigned. Mm-hmm. He's from Venezuela. Okay. And
so he knows all about cheating.
So he was thrown out of the Philippines 13 years ago for voter fraud. I put on, I made the video and it's the legislation, the Congress there in the Philippines cussing him out 13 years ago. And I told people pay very close attention to the process that they said happened. And the congressman said, you assured us that between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., we were safe. But that, he goes, but it happened at 10 o'clock at night. 13 years ago, this happened. And they said, what the heck? You know, and he called him an SOB. I'm going to encourage all you guys to go watch that video and because it's on there. And it's exactly what we saw in the middle of the night. So this was 13 years ago. Now, this guy is put as an elections administrator in the only last standing city, Tarrant County, Fort Worth, last conservative city in Texas.
Wow.
And he just resigned. And now it gets better. There's more. Wait, you know, those commercials. Wait, there's more. Now he's working for the federal government on a national level over elections.
Wow.
Sweet. He built up his resume. So he got the job.
Yeah. Well, like we said before many times, moral people don't rise to the top. At least not that fast.
And it's just proof. I mean, you can, I've showed people many instances. People have pleaded guilty to voter fraud across this country. A former congressman in Pennsylvania pleaded guilty to federal election violations, federal charges to election fraud, even ballot harvesting. The lady in Arizona pleaded guilty. We had commissioners here in Texas plead guilty to voter fraud. So when people try to tell me it doesn't exist, it's BS. And even Hillary was crying. Remember crying? She was crying that there was voter fraud, and that's how Trump.
They all were. Hillary, mm-hmm. Stacey Abrams. I mean, every single one. When Trump won, that's what they were all saying.
So why? Yeah. So why do they say, oh no, but Biden, like, these were the best, safest elections ever known.
Went their way.
What? Who are they talking to? Not us. We know better.
Yeah, we do. And then, yesterday here in California, they had a big protest in LA County. So that was good to see a lot of parents protesting the curriculums and stuff that they're trying to put to the school boards. Newsom threatened, I think, one of the school boards down there with fines. And they kind of had to backtrack. And so, parents are standing up and they're rising up against it. And, I saw a lot of videos for it and it was good. And I think the next thing connected to that is a lot of people are going to keep their kids home this Friday in protest to, great. Statewide. So.
And that's what it takes. I mean, everybody just has to show up. Again, we are stronger in numbers. There's more of us than there is them. And I really hope more people continue to come out.
Hey, they're going to see that they're not going to get paid. They're money hungry, money grabbers. Mm-hmm. And I think even, not to go back to the Trump thing, but he even said the money should follow the children. In another episode, we showed a graph of how the increase in homeschooling has just skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. So, that's something that could potentially be a real thing. That if people aren't going to take their kids to public schools anymore, there's going to be something that's going to have to allow that money to follow those kids and maybe funding homeschooling, helping out some programs or something to that nature. Mm-hmm. So they're going to start feeling threatened right now if they don't feel threatened already.
I think the teachers that want to homeschool and that believe what we believe should come together and rent a building. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in communities and whatnot so that they can, put the further education for the children that way. I mean, that would be something good, but I don't know what the red tape would be to get something like that.
There's probably plenty of red tape out here in California, but that's the thing too. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, talk bad about California and I get it. We're like a, we're like a sore eye, right? But
Orange County was nice, though. I'm not gonna lie.
I wouldn't say us, but
the politicians, right? They give us a bad reputation, but it's good to see. Parents are standing up. There's a lot of good fighters out here. You got people like Anthony. We had him on. He's out here. He's doing his part, and he's documenting all this stuff that's going on with the parents. We got all these parents standing up now. These groups, organizations, I don't know if you've heard of Max. I think his last name is Bonilla. I'm gonna mess it up, but he's a young guy, and he's out here. He's very smart. He's very, when it comes to all this political stuff, I think he has a future in it. So we'll see how that goes. I'll send you his profile, but he's a very bright young man. You got
That's what we need. We need this younger generation to help step in, and us old generation, the old G's, that are we're hanging on by a thread. So we need this.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people that aren't just gonna let California kind of continue to go in this direction, right? There's a lot of people that have woken up, I would say, and hopefully it continues and. We're going to turn the tide out here, right? It's easy to give up and it's easy to, leave. But yeah, you know, we're here. People are here. People are fighting.
Well, I'm going to be back out there the end of September. We're going to the Hispanic 100 okay. Gala. And I think that's going to be on the 29th and the 30th. But I think Trump's going to be there on the 29th.
In Anaheim, I think at the GOP convention,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, so my friend Yoshi out there and some of the other Patriots, I told him I'm going to be there. So I'm going to try to come and join them. It's just that we have an event that evening. But hopefully, you know, I can get there and come stand with you guys. I would love that, you know. So I told Yoshi and Carmen I'm going to try to get out there and go and stand.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think it's when I looked it up, I think like the lunch for Trump was like $600 a person or something like that. So I was like, oh, hey, did you get a discount in California?
But no. Help me out more. Right.
I live under Newsom. Why you got- But no, but I think that whole event, right? I think it's for the weekend. Yeah. And I think yeah, it's a weekend. It's a GOP convention. I think it's 140, right, to attend just all the other stuff. So, you know, who knows? It's a good way to get out there and, like, you know, show and make.
Well, I think it's good for Californians to show up, right, and really show the real unity, the Californians, and about this Newsom crap. You know, they're all about President Trump and being a part of America and literally living under this communist rule over there. Mm-hmm. Seriously. So I'm going to try to make it. And I'm going to be there already. So I'm going to try to make it over there with all you guys.
Cool. Cool. That's good.
That's really good.
Jeez. I like the direction of everything, right? It's encouraging. I think we're going to see it a lot too, with, like, we were talking about the new mandates that they're going to attempt to do. You know, I think we're going to see it better too with all the other nonsense that they might put on, because, you know, I was telling Danny a couple episodes ago is, you know, from here till November, you know, election day, something's going to happen that, you know, people are going to be, you know, there's people that are probably on the fence right now and they really want to, like, come over to this side, but they're just, you know, like you said, maybe they don't fully believe or they have doubt, but there's stuff that they're going to pull and people are going to fall for it and get off the fence. But there's going to be a lot of people that are already over that fence and they know, hey, no, I'm not going to buy it, right? They're not going to buy all this COVID stuff. You know, they do use all this racial stuff to divide us, right? Because, you know, as we said earlier, it's like divide and conquer. And I don't think, I don't know, maybe like Danny said, I'm, you know, being optimistic, but I just don't think people are going to fall for a lot of the stuff that they're going to pull, because they are going to pull something.
Right. They are. And all we can hope for is what matters when they get into that ballot booth, right? When they walk into that booth and they really think really hard about these last 4 years, you know, what life has been like for us. And so as Americans, but just as individuals, if they can't feel it on their own, mm-hmm. in their pocketbooks, you know, just in everything, to see the wars. I mean, the wars that hit across the world immediately once Biden took over the world stage that we haven't seen. So, you know, that's what we're praying for. And just really to get more people in, like I said, in the booths to mm-hmm. vote. A lot of people in the beginning, like you asked, they are discouraged. So the churches, that's what we got to focus on, because not very many churches. I mean, we mm-hmm. need them. We need them.
You know, Daniel and I have had this conversation, is that you go to church and you hear certain homilies and stuff like that, and they sound very left-leaning, mm-hmm. you know, and they've been sounding more and more throughout time. So we need to get aligned with, you know, those people in the church that aren't following instructions or directions. I don't know how exactly it works for them to sound like, you know, they're more left-leaning when they're speaking, you know, in church and giving their homilies.
Right.
Because we have heard some that Daniel had an experience with, one where he, you know, the priest was saying a lot of things that we're talking about right now, and the values and everything in school and what they're trying to do. I think he used even brainwashing, didn't he?
Brainwashing, and he was talking about, you know, people standing up and protecting the children because they're after the children. So that was like, you know, it was one of those rare ones when you go, oh, wow. Like, you know, it kind of, not that you're losing faith, but it like kind of restores your faith because, you know, like Danny said, you hear more and more homilies that are left leaning because, you know, they take that compassion, right, that they're supposed to have for people. And they kind of, in a sense, in my opinion, it's like they take it too far to just be accepting of everything, right? And
right. Because they don't want to lose the butts in the pews. That's why. Yeah. They don't want to sound controversial. But, you know, they have to preach God's word. And you cannot sit there and tell me that this transgenderism, this child grooming, what they are doing to our children, the way they are running, again, in the Bible, the Bible speaks about government in and out of that book. So, you know, they're just not being true. They're not being true to the faith. They're not being true to God's word. They're not being true to the word in the Bible because they are more worried that they will lose the butts in the pews. That's why. Yes. And that's really sad. That's disgraceful.
And it is. And then the slap in the face is that you have people like politicians like Joe Biden that say that they're Catholic, right? And everything that he's doing is completely against, well, I won't say completely against, but the majority of everything that he says and does or his actions show that it's that he's not following his faith.
Right.
So
abortion.
You know, right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's one of those things where, you know, we have to see more of that. We have to see more of them just going back to the roots and really teaching what the Bible is saying. And not being swayed by whatever surroundings that they're experiencing, whether it's the culture or I don't know. I don't know what it is, you know, that makes them just sound that way or cater to, you know, the left.
Right.
I think it just comes down to, you know, not in a sense, like not trying to offend anybody. Right. Because like if you go by like kind of Melinda was saying, if you go by the word, how it is. Yeah, the word sometimes it doesn't make you feel good because it's pointing out where you're wrong or what you're doing wrong.
Well, the truth hurts. You know, the truth isn't nice.
Yeah, and it's letting you know what path you should be on, what you should be correcting. And people, you know, a lot of people here on earth just want to live comfortably. They don't want people bothering them. They don't want, you know, in a sense they go, I'm not hurting anybody. And then they don't apply everything, right? And then you have don't want to offend people because, you know, they don't, in a sense, maybe they don't want to turn them away from God, you know, because, oh, I offended you. And like Melinda said, it's like you're keeping the person in the church. Now their spirit and their faith might not be growing as it should because they're not hearing the word that, you know, that I've always been told, right? The word of God is like food for your soul. It needs. And if you're not getting it, 100%, you're getting like a processed version of you know the word of God, then yeah, your soul isn't going to be eating healthy.
Yeah, you're getting the GMO version. So yeah, you're not getting satiated with that product. But look, you know, and to the point that you just made right now, kids, people yearn for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they have to understand that is that you can't hold back because people yearn for that. The children yearn for that, for discipline and all of those things that, you know, the church is supposed to provide, the parents are supposed to provide, and they're just not getting it. And these shows, these movies that actually come out and people are talking about them, they like them, they're getting great ratings, shows you that people, that's what they want.
Right.
And we can't let them win.
No, and that's why, you know, to kind of tie back into that, it's like, I don't feel like me, myself, and I'm talking on my behalf, right? I don't feel like I'm too Christian to not make a decision on, you know, who I'm going to vote for this way or that way. Because I understand that, yeah, I'm not going to agree with everything a politician might say or do. But I also can see, you know, like you were saying, the differences, right? Which one do I align with more? Which one is going to allow me to be free to be a Christian in this country? Which one isn't? Because sometimes, you know, being a Christian is fine, and then you wanting to use that to make decisions is good, but you also got to know that if you just let these people win because you don't fully agree with them, then these people right here have shown that they're going to remove God as much as they can. So why give them that free pass? That's kind of where I'm at.
And it's also, guys, it's our obligation to talk to our pastors. We, you know, it says in the Bible that we do have to hold each other accountable. And that also means that we have to hold our pastors accountable for not following the word of God. And so, and ensuring that the way that they are sharing today's society, because that's what we do, right? We look at today's society. That's what Jesus did. He looked at the people. He looked at the communities. And he went in from cities to go and help the people. And you know, it's not just holding them accountable. It's calling them out when they're wrong. So even as, you know, us as, you know, members of the church, we're obligated in today's society, when we can all clearly see that Satan and his demons are running rampant and that we are in a spiritual battle, a spiritual war, that we also sit and have that conversation with our pastors, question them, why? Why don't you share this? You know, even get into the Bible, get the word, you know, and ask the pastor what, you know, this passage right here clearly says this about, you know, holding the government accountable, ensuring that, you know, all whatever it is. And pastor, why aren't you speaking out against the LGBTQ community? Why aren't you speaking about, you know, that's not the word of God. We need to protect our children. Mm-hmm. So I encourage many people to also do the same, do that with us, because that's what Luca, again, once we, soon we'll fight. We're going to have our, make a decision on our faith director. Cause again, that's the most important one, right? We got to make sure that we have, a solid, faith director, because he's going to be leading us nationally in that. And that's going to be our mission and unite people and, just bring everybody back to God. It is our obligation as Christians to make sure that we're bringing all of our brothers and sisters to God, to his word. And again, that means our pastors as well. And it is what it is.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, because, you know, we're all, everybody, right? Everybody, the pastors included, we're all human. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to, you know, fall short sometimes. But like you said, right, if we have strong people around us, for the most part, you know, they're going to help us stay in line and, you know, we'll help each other grow and help each other, you know, establish these communities that we want, where, you know, our kids are safe, our kids are, you know, healthy, growing old and living long lives. Right. Because we were talking about that last time, where it's like, you know, I hope that when I'm gone from this world, you know, hopefully my daughters are like in their 60s, you know, I lived a long life. I seen them live a long life, you know, and to me, that's what's important. And that's why, you know, we do what we do now, because if we don't, and if we just let it go, then as bad as it is now, it's like, how much worse is it going to get? So,
it's going to get so much more worse. Yeah. I can't even, like, I look at my grandkids every day and that's what I fight. I can't fathom them living in such a scary place. A third world country, if you would.
And it, I would say I don't want to sound mean, but it's like, I feel like we are a third world country, you know?
I know. I mean, if you look at San Francisco and you look at some of these cities that are just inundated with the drug abuse, the streets, Skid Row, it's sad. Yeah. We should not be living like this. And, you know, under Trump, we were working really hard to fix that. He was working really hard to fix that. But again, it's a very clear picture between the two leaderships. Mm-hmm. You know, you can either see it getting better. People are pooping on the side of the street in front of really nice restaurants in LA and in San Francisco. Yeah. That goes to show you what's going. But we also have to remember, we have to get involved in a local. This is the thing with Luca.
Yeah.
The local side of things is so important. You know, like I tell a lot of people, we've always waited for it to trickle down from the federal down, which, you know, the federal can do a lot of great things, but we have to focus on the local level because that's how they've been coming in as a cancer and really infiltrating is mayors, the governors, the sheriffs, the judges, you know, who are your state reps for the Senate, for the House, Congress, who are your Supreme Court justices? Because the state has more sovereignty power than the federal government. So are we hold, you know, we have to start at a local level and have it trickle up. So essentially, you know, I mean, that's just going to fix the federal the side, but we really have to work locally harder than ever. And that's what we're doing. And that's what our message and mission will be with Luca.
Yeah, no, that's.
No, that's a great point. Everybody just focuses on the big races, right? But it's the small races that actually make the biggest
county clerk,
difference.
Your commissioners, all of them.
Yeah, that's something that definitely going into the next election, you know, I'm sure on this show, we're going to talk about the little guys that are running, right? The ones that, you know, we see, like you were saying earlier, we see are going to fight for our freedoms, fight for our liberties, you know, bring us, you know, bring this country, restore it, you know, not just let it keep getting out of hand. And, you know, hopefully we could shed some light on some of those people. And, you know, we're willing, like you said, right? It also takes working together with other people, other groups and all that. So, you know, we're willing to work with anybody. And, you know, anybody that wants to come on here and talk to us, have a conversation about whatever, you know, whether it's here in California, whether, you know, you represent New Mexico and Texas. So it's like, you know what I mean? So it's like anybody could come on here and we can have these conversations because they're important to have. Right. You know, because you never know, you know, that's kind of the thing that, you know, doing the podcast is like, you know, I might not say everything correctly or I might not say everything you want to hear, but you know, at some point I believe that people will hear something they needed to hear, whether they were looking, you know what I mean? It's like, it's one of those things, like I'll listen to podcasts and I'll hear something. I go, oh man, I needed to hear that. Like that was a good point. Right. And, you know, hopefully that can happen here with us. And, you know, like I said, in 2024, going through that election, we're definitely going to focus on a lot of local people and hopefully we're able to get a lot of those candidates on and, you know, right or left. If any, we don't, you know, you want to come on, but you know, they're going to have to answer some questions because, you know, voting party lines and just because you're a Republican, I'm going to vote for you, or, you know, because you're a Democrat, I'm going to vote for you. It's like that hasn't worked. We got to vet everybody. We got to know what everybody stands for and how are they going to benefit the people, not just themselves.
Right. Well, I know I'm very proud of you guys, amigos. I'm very proud of you guys. Share as much of your content as I can. Keep it going. You know, you guys are doing the right thing. And again, when we're all set up, we're setting up our own podcast studio as well. So I haven't forgotten you guys. I really want to bring you guys on once we get set up. So thank you for supporting us. And I'm here to support you guys. And this is what we have to do. So you guys keep it up. And I, like I said, I'm here to help you guys in any way.
Yeah. And likewise, you know, whatever you need from us.
No, we're excited to see all the plans that you guys have and everything. You know, you've grown a lot. And, you know, you sharing your plans with us today. I didn't, you know, you kind of made us see a different angle of what you guys are working on. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty exciting. I'm excited for you.
Thank you. Yes, I've been working on this organization for almost 2 years, a little over a year and a half. Shout out to my CEO, Tony Denetria. He had a lot of faith in me. we'll both share our stories and how we ended up here on our podcast show. We're going to bring everybody. I mean, Tony is an amazing human being. He's been working in politics since he was 17. Wow. He's been under four different presidents. He's been invited to the White House, I can't tell you, countless times since the age of 17 with Reagan, Nancy. He got to speak in front of Congress at a young age. Somebody that just, you know, loves helping the community and people. So I feel very blessed and fortunate. We've had long conversations and God has opened up the doors for us to be able to do what we're doing with Luca and what we're about to do. And literally, I cannot wait to share that with everybody. It's going to be phenomenal.
Well, I mean, I'd be interested in having him on, so I can, you know, reach out to you on the side for that, but that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, we're going to keep going, you know.
Oh, you have to. I'll be so upset if you guys stop. Don't stop. Like I said, we have to be the media. Yeah. We have to.
I noticed earlier today that IG took the sound on two of our reels. So it's like, you can't hear what we're talking about. One of them is we're talking about the biolab in Reedley that they found. And then the other one, I think, was we had said something about Jason Aldean and just in general how you can't cancel everybody. I don't know if those two, they have no sound no more. So I was kind of upset. I was like, man, what the hell?
You might have to fight that. Maybe you can get it.
I don't know. I got to see, because there's not a lot of options when you click on it. It's just no sound.
What about reposting another one and see if it happens again? That'll be a good test.
Yeah, and just put repost on all caps at the top and just say, IG, shut the sound down. So,
yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Just call them out.
Post it again and then see what happens. But I was scrolling through the page today, and then I got to that one, and it's like, I was like, did I turn the sound down or what happened here? And yeah, it's specifically on that one, the one about the biolab out here. So.
Well, I think we have to get ready because we know that they're going to be trying to shut us down. Social media, it's election year. So I know I'm preparing. We're preparing to get shut down essentially, you know, to get silence. I put a video. I'm like, so are they like the fact checkers? Are they back from vacation? I mean, it is an election year. I'm sure they're coming back.
Yeah, they are. They are. I am seeing more on Instagram. You know how before they would kind of blur out the posts? And then you kind of have to click see post because, you know,
you see
it more now. And it's like, oh, missing context, this.
Clockwork. Yeah. It's an election year. They're back from vacation. It's time to get started again.
But there's more of us. And hey, as long as we all work together, you know, they can't keep us quiet. That's for sure. But cool. I mean, it was great having you on again, Melinda. And, you know, we'll keep an eye on Luca. And like I said, whatever you guys need from us, you know, we're willing to work with you guys and you know, we're here.
I know. And thank you. And we're going to be leaning on everybody out there across the country when we're ready. So just know you guys are on my list.
We're on top of the California list, right?
For sure. You guys are awesome. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Well, everybody, thank you for tuning in and, you know, we'll catch you guys on the next one. I hope you enjoyed it. Care.
All right, you guys. Bye.